Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
With flu season in full swing, now is the time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult, but with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mamma because beating cancer is our mission.
Dr. Garrett Zallin is a pediatric surgeon at Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center at Riverbend. He's joining us for this edition of Doc Talk. Dr. Zallin, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, and thank you for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. It'll be good to talk and find out some more about you. Tell us a little bit. We like to do the get the background situation first. Where'd you go to school?
Well, I did my undergrad in St. Louis at Washington University and then went back home. I'm originally from Colorado. To University of Colorado for my medical school training, and then stayed in Colorado to do my surgical residency, which was a seven-year residency in general surgery, and then went out to Buffalo, New York to do my 3 years of pediatric surgical training. So I've been in a few different places to do my schooling and training.
When you think back, do you remember the first time you wanted to be a doctor? Did you thought that would be the path you took?
It was when I was in college, and a bunch of my friends in college were going pre-med, and I decided since my father was a physician and I saw what he did and he seemed to enjoy his work, and that it might be at least a good option to keep open. But what really cemented it for me was when I got my EMT license in college and started working as an emergency medical technician for the school, that I really decided that I enjoyed it. I liked to help people. I like the hospital atmosphere, and it was something that I could see doing for the rest of my life.
Just curious, prior to that, what was your career path? What was kind of on your mind?
Before that, I was destined to be a high school science teacher. I think we're all sort of shaped by the people that influence us the most as we're going through life, and I had some really excellent high school science teachers that really inspired me to learn and understand the scientific world, and so I respected and looked up to them, and so I thought that would be a great place to go.
So that's it's all part of the sciences anyway, so it was kind of along the same thing, just a little different trajectory there when it all came out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, as we all go through our lives and figure out where we want to go, there was definitely a science orientation to where I wanted to be, but I think I decided I wanted to be in the realm where I was directly helping people and doing things and helping them through the crises in their life. So I think that was more important. Then I think I also realized how hard it would be to be a teacher in front of a whole room of high school students. And I think looking back on it sounds a lot more difficult.
You know,
hats off to them.
I tried it for a semester, and let me tell you, it's not fun.
So yeah, I think it's quite the challenge, and that they're able to do that is pretty phenomenal.
Absolutely. So obviously there's so many, you know, areas you could have gone into, but you chose pediatric surgery. What made you choose that direction?
Yeah, so it actually wasn't the course I was originally going. Originally I was training to be an adult surgeon, although all pediatric surgeons train in adult surgery first. So it's a normal route to go. But it was when I started working at the Children's Hospital during my surgical rotations that I realized I was fascinated by the problems that kids have. Kids don't create their own problems. Like many adults, we do things that affect our health and create problems that doctors have to then try to fix. These are kids who are born with issues, some very complicated, some very simple issues, and when we're working with them, we're trying to solve an issue that that affects them for the rest of their life and try to give them as normal a life as we possibly can with some of the things that they're born with that are difficult to work with. And every one of these little congenital anomalies that we deal with are different. All the kids are different how they react. So there's very little routine in a lot of what we do. There is some routine in some of the more simple things that we do, but a lot of the more complicated things every day is a school day for us where we're learning and figuring out some of these more complicated problems. And kids just want to get better. You know, that's the bottom line. The patients that I work with, they just want to get better. They just want to go play. They just want to be back in school. And it's really refreshing to work with kids that have that attitude and often don't see the obstacles in their life that we see because that's what they know and they don't let them get in their way.
Well, I can really appreciate what you do. I remember my nephew when he was born, he had to have corrective surgery because his feet were extremely crooked. They put him back into place and he was in a brace. He ended up being fine. He played baseball for like 12 years through high school and college. And so, you know, thanks to folks like you who make that possible. So we appreciate that. What brought you to, what brought you to Oregon? What led you here?
Well, as I mentioned, I went out to Buffalo, New York to do my pediatric surgical training, and I really missed the West and having grown up in Colorado and been around mountains and trees and rivers and decided that I wanted to get back to a place where I could feel more at home and looked at some places out on the West Coast and in Colorado and ended up in Portland, Oregon, because I just thought it looked like a great place to live. It was a good job up at Dornbecker. It's a good children's hospital there, and was fortunate to end up and be able to work there for about 9 years. And I have stayed in Oregon ever since. I think it's a wonderful place to live. It's the outdoors, the environment, the people. I really think that it feels much more like home.
So my understanding is you were Peace Health's first pediatric surgeon in Oregon?
First pediatric surgeon for Peace Health, even in any of their other hospitals. Oh. They had, prior to me getting here, they had a couple of people who, one who did pediatric surgery, he never trained as a pediatric surgeon, but he trained long enough ago where a lot of the adult surgeons did pediatric surgery. George Foster, some people who are listening may remember him. He did a great job with taking care of some of the kids, but acknowledged that he didn't have the formal training to take care of a lot of the more complex issues. And then there was a second surgeon who was hired by one of the private groups here. He was here for a little over a year or two and then realized that he wanted to move back to his family out on the East Coast. And so at that point, that's when Peace Health decided it's a good resource to have in their community, and they wanted to get somebody to come down and build a program to make it a more long-lasting and permanent program.
I'm speaking with Dr. Garrett Zallin. He's pediatric surgeon at Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center at River Bend. This is our November edition of Doc Talk, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
With flu season in full swing, now is the time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult. But with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology in mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mama because beating cancer is our mission.
On this edition of Doc Talk, Dr. Garrett Zallin, a pediatric surgeon at Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center at River Bend, is with us today. And Dr. Zallin, this month, the team you are part of, Pediatric Specialties, is celebrating its 10th anniversary, my understanding. What medical specialties for kids are available at Peace Health River Bend now in 2022?
Well, I'm excited to say that since I've been here, we've been able to expand some of our pediatric services so that people don't have to travel to Portland or other places to get their services. But currently we have three pediatric surgeons. We have two pediatric cardiologists. We have a pediatric nutritionist. We have a pediatric diabetes nurse. We have pediatric hospitalists that are dedicated full-time pediatricians to taking care of sick kids in the hospital. We have pediatric anesthesiologists. And so we can really provide a number of services and take care of a pretty broad swath of pediatric patients and keeping them right here in Southern Oregon and keeping them close to home.
Well, I'm guessing from the size of the team that you just mentioned, you probably have quite a volume of patients. What sort of volume are you guys working on now? I mean, do you cover a lot of patients in a given month or in a year?
We currently do about 1,000 surgeries a year on pediatric patients. So our pediatric cardiologists see about 3,000 new patients a year. And overall, we've seen about 5,000 patients between all of our pediatric subspecialty services. That does not include the inpatients just this last year. So a lot of patients, a lot of visits. Since we have started our program here, we've done over 10,000 surgeries for patients. I can't tell you how many patients that we've seen and treated in the hospital. I don't have those numbers, but these are all patients that would have had to go other locations to get pretty much all of these procedures and were able to stay closer to home.
Now, you said there's a wide swath of kind of procedures, and some are more specialized and some are more common. What are some of the most common conditions or ailments that pediatric specialties team treats?
Yeah, probably the most common would be appendicitis. It's a pretty common problem that kids get. I'm sure there's a number of listeners out there whose children have had appendicitis and maybe even been treated by us. Hernias is another common problem. A lot of babies are born with hernias. Adults are familiar with hernias because adults get hernias as they get older. Well, there's a large number of kids who are actually born with a hernia that we have to fix. We also have the only chest wall reconstruction program in Oregon, where we do pediatric and adult chest wall surgeries for people who are born with chest wall issues or who develop chest wall problems throughout their life. The most common of that is pectus excavatum. We've done over 300 pectus excavatum surgeries since we started our program here as well. That program often gets referrals from all over the state, even in the region, to take care of those patients. Common things, we take care of little babies in the neonatal intensive care unit who are born with congenital issues, and the number of congenital issues it's a long list, that's a lot of where our specialty training comes in, is to take care of these little tiny infants, some of which don't even weigh a pound when they're born and have surgical issues that need to be taken care of. And then there's a whole bunch of other surgeries. The list is long of what else we do, but not quite as common as those.
I wouldn't have thought that appendicitis would be that common in youth. Is that something that's grown over time, or has it always been something that's been common?
It's always been pretty common. There's sort of two peaks that we see with appendicitis. One is in kids sort of 6 to 10, and then there's another peak that we see later in life. So it kind of affects the two ends of the spectrum of life. It's a common problem, likely related to our Western diet and not as much fiber and vegetables as we should be eating. And kids see the same issues that the older adults see when it comes to that.
I think you kind of touched on this when you said you were able to see so many more people from the area. But, children and families obviously benefit from getting this type of medical care closer to home. I guess just from not having to travel, would that be the biggest thing that they would have to overcome?
I mean, I think there's several. One is, as you said, not having to travel. Most families have more than one child. Excuse me. So when they have to bring one kid in, they have to make arrangements for other children to be taken care of or to come with. And so the longer the travel time, the longer the distance, the more difficult that becomes. And then also just being able to comply with coming in for appointments, being able to get here for surgery, being able to come for outpatient treatments. You know, the farther you have to drive, the harder it is to make it to those appointments. And so just the fact that we are making it more available, I think also makes the treatment better because families are much more able to get the treatment that they need because it's less of a logistical issue, less people have to cancel because they can't make the they can't make the travel time. And then I don't have to tell anybody how much gas is starting to cost now. You know, some of these trips where you have to go a couple hundred miles round trip, they become expensive. And so for some people, just the expense of travel is something that can be an impairment to getting the care that they need. So it really comes down to access. And there's multiple reasons that having care local makes access and makes treatment better.
I want to take a step back for a second because you mentioned the technical term of the surgery, and I'm guessing it's a reconstruction of the chest wall when they have problems with kids. Talk a little bit about what's entailed in that. Is it grafting? What do you do in order to rebuild that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So these are kids who largely their chest has sunken in on itself, and so it starts to create issues with their heart not being able to have room to pump blood, especially when they're exercising and doing physical activities. What we do is we implant a metal bar or sometimes two metal bars into the chest underneath the sternum, that's the breastbone, to lift it up to give room so that the heart and lungs have room so that they can pump and they can breathe, and they get much better function from that. It also can be an appearance issue for a lot of kids and adults that though they don't like the appearance of their chest as it's caved in. I should say that the operation that we do now is one that's evolved over the last probably 20 plus years. Originally, the surgery for this problem prior to this new operation that we do, which is called the NUS procedure, was a very morbid operation. And there was even an editorial in the Journal of Pediatrics a number of years ago that said that this condition should never be operated on because the surgery to do it is such a difficult surgery and so much morbidity that goes along with the surgery that the surgery is worse than the problem. And so there's a number of adults who had this problem as a kid who continue to have it as an adult who were never offered or never had the opportunity to have it repaired. And so we've decided since we now have much better surgical technique, recovery is by far improved, and we now even understand better the physiologic consequences of having these problems, that we've opened up an adult program so that adults who didn't have an option when they were a child or told that this is just a cosmetic issue, you know, get over it, don't worry about it, it's nothing that affects you, that we now know that that's false, that they have a place where they can go to get counsel, seek advice, and get treatment if it's something that they're interested in.
So even as they're older, it's still the chest cavity is still pliable enough to do that without any major problems?
Yeah, that's a very good question. It is and it's not. There's some special things that we do to help with the adults. Some techniques we've actually even invented here at our PECTUS program that help make the surgery more effective, because if they're not used, then you're correct. The adult chest is not nearly as compliant as a pediatric chest. And so a lot of times those operations, if they're not done correctly or not done by an experienced team, then they fail. And so even though they got an operation that could have helped them, they end up not being helped because the technique has to be altered somewhat for the adults.
Thanks. I'm speaking with Dr. Garrett Zallin. He's a pediatric surgeon at Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center at River Bend. And we'll be back with more on this November edition of Doc Talk.
With flu season in full swing, now is the time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. PeaceHealth Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult, but with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mama because beating cancer is our mission.
On the November edition of Doc Talk, I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Garrett Zallin. He's a pediatric surgeon at Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center at Riverbend. And Dr. Zallin, is there a head of the department? Would that be you, or is it a team thing?
It is a team thing. We do have a head of the department. Her name is Dr. Kimberly Ruscher. She's one of my partners. She was the second surgeon that actually started here, although I think if you look at the paperwork, she may have been signed on before I signed on, but I started working before she got here. She was finishing her training out in Connecticut when I started, and she joined me about 9 months after I started here. And she is now the head of the pediatric subspecialty services.
Oh, cool. What regions does the pediatric specialties team serve? Do they get all the way to our area here on the coast?
Yeah, absolutely. We take patients as far south as Northern California, all the way up to Albany, all the way out to the coast, to Florence, lots of patients from Coos Bay, Medford, Klamath Falls. And then occasionally we get some patients that are closer to Portland. Our task is not to pull patients from other hospital systems, but rather to give them options so that if they're are closer by or it's easier for them to get here, then, we're happy to see them here. So we even get patients from Bend, Oregon, and even further out in Eastern Oregon. You know, sometimes geographically people may live a little bit closer to Portland, which has excellent services as well. But the traffic of getting in and out of Portland negates the shorter distance. So they'd rather come here where they can, they don't have to deal with the traffic in the city. Parking is easy. They can find their way around. And so I tell people that, people who live in rural places do so for a reason, and that's because they don't like to have to be in a big city more than they need to. And so we help, provide that other alternative for people so that they can feel more comfortable and therefore, seek out the care that they need.
Speaking from experience, I can tell you it's a lot easier to get from West Lynn to Eugene than from West Lynn to the airport.
It's only getting worse. I work up at the Shriners Hospital up in Portland, and so I make that drive once a month, and it's only getting worse and worse in terms of the traffic that I hit. So I understand, and I'm not a big fan of traffic either.
What are some of the types of services that kids on the coast have needed over time?
Well, all the surgical services that I've mentioned, we have taken care of. We get newborns that are actually delivered here or will be transferred here if they have a surgical problem. We've seen a number of kids from the coast who have chest wall issues that we've taken care of. Pretty much the whole gamut of all pediatric issues we have helped take care of out on the coast. And our cardiology team does a clinic out in Florence and also down in Coos Bay. And so we do some outreach in that direction. The surgery department, we have a clinic in Corvallis. We also have a clinic in Bend so that we can, try to extend our services so that people don't always have to come to us, but rather we can come to them. And then, the final thing I'd say is if there's anything positive to say that happened with COVID, which it's hard to find a silver lining, but in healthcare, the silver lining was that it really increased our use of telemedicine. So patients who live far away can often see the doctor, be evaluated, have plans made, and never have to leave their living room. And so we can take care of most of what we need to via telehealth. And then they come in to get their surgery done, and we can even do follow-up and other things through telehealth for most of what we see, although there's still a number of issues that we actually have to have the person come to clinic for. But that has also really expanded our ability to care for patients in remote areas without making them, do 2 to 4 hour drives to come see us, because we recognize that, the state of Oregon is big and services are small in terms of the number of pediatric subspecialists. So we're doing everything we can to try to bring ourselves to them.
Now, you mentioned earlier that there's a lot of genetic necessity for surgery, for kids, not things that they cause themselves. But obviously, as the kids get a little older, children get a little more active, they tend to get injured and have injuries. I think there's probably a set rule of prevention messages you'd probably send out to the community. But with sports, with the dunes out here, what kind of care should parents take for their kids when they're letting them out?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question, because it hits on the number one reason that kids sustain lifetime injuries and also are killed is through trauma. That is the number one reason that a pediatric patient would die. It's not disease related anymore. It's not cancer. It's not congenital issues. It's trauma. And in that trauma is also gunshots and either intentional or accidental gunshot wounds. So what we really try to focus on, because that is what we take care of, is trauma and shootings, that we try to help counsel patients and families to try to keep them safe from those things. Safe gun storage is something that we have lobbied our legislatures about. I personally sit on an advocacy committee that has been helping put together papers to help other pediatric surgeons and other practices talk to families about safe gun storage and gun safety. There's an organization that we started here at Peace Health, although it's not a Peace Health organization. We sponsored it, called Safe Kids. It's a national program originally started out of Children's Hospital in D.C. a number of years ago. And when they recognized that trauma and trauma-related injuries are really the number one issue that are causing problems in kids these days, created this organization to help parents navigate keeping their kids safe. There's a number of places where families can intervene, seatbelts being the easiest one, car seats. We've been involved in car seat programs here at Peace Health. We have a car seat technician. Myself and my wife used to be car seat technicians ourselves and do car seat clinics to help families get their infants and children safe in their cars. And then also there's good information on the Safe Kids websites about gun safety, about safe storage, about other safety areas. Water safety is another big one, especially in Oregon with all the water, with the lakes and the rivers and the cold water that we have, the ocean. Drownings are also something that are tragic, but can occasionally be prevented as well. So all these issues we try to help with by either creating the resources for our patients or other providers, but also providing resources to organizations that help give the resources, because there's no one group of people or no one hospital that can help touch in all these areas. We do a safety fair where we've partnered with multiple other organizations, the fire departments, the Coast Guard, the police force, because all these organizations have a hand in child safety and helping keep our kids safe.
Now, we talk about Peace Health being a not-for-profit hospital. How important is local support and donations in expanding the specialties program over the years?
Yeah, I don't think I can understate the importance of the community support. And in fact, if there's one thing that I look back over the 10 years that I've been here, I can say that the community support has been really what has made this program successful. And it's also probably the most appreciated in terms of keeping our program going. There is not a single children's hospital in this country that operates under a profit. Every children's hospital depends on donations from their foundation, from individuals in their communities. Otherwise, we can't do what we do. The payment and reimbursement in pediatrics is unfortunately quite low. To do these services that we do, we can't do it without outside resources, because we simply can't generate the resources that we need based on the care that we deliver. The example of that is we have a Ronald McDonald House that was built here several years ago that was all built with philanthropic money. And for those who aren't familiar with the Ronald McDonald House, which I'm hoping most people aren't, that they haven't had to use one, but they're a place where families can stay when they have a child in the hospital and they live out of town, and so that they don't have to try to stay in a hotel, that it's right next to the hospital. It's within easy walking distance. And it helps cover the expenses, the meals, and provides other services for families while they're here, because some families can be here for weeks at a time, especially if they have a sick baby in the neonatal intensive care unit. And so all that was built with philanthropic money. I shouldn't say all, but most of it was built with philanthropic money and donations from individuals, from our gift shop in the lobby raised a bunch of money for it. And so it's without those types of donations and programs and people in the community who say, I want to support the children of our community, that the children are our future, and we need to make them a priority. We can't do what we could do. And there's so much more we can do with even more support. So hopefully in the future, there'll be other projects that people can get involved with so that we can continue to grow. Because I don't think I have to tell anybody in this community, you know, who's not just looking around, our community is growing. There are new houses being built. People are moving into our community. They realize, too, what a wonderful place this is to live. And that just gives us even more reason to increase the resources of what we can offer.
Well, Dr. Zallin, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Just lastly, you know, if you could tell me what you're most proud of the 10 years that you've been there.
I mean, I think when I look back at when I came here met with the administration and they said, well, we're thinking of creating a more permanent pediatric specialty program. And I talked to them about what that entailed. I got a lot of blank looks back of, we're not really sure what you're talking about. One of them was an example is Child Life, which for people who have been in the hospital, they know who they are. They know how important they are. But they're a group of people whose job is to make the children's and families' experience in the hospital as comfortable and I even would say as fun as possible, and so that they don't feel afraid, they don't feel isolated. When I mentioned that we needed that, they looked at me and very respectfully said, well, what's Child Life? We don't even know what that is. Now to the point where these things are just, they're second nature to what we do. People understand the importance of taking care of kids. They understand the special needs that children have. They understand the difficulties of families and the difficulties of dealing with a sick kid. And so the mindset that now exists here is so much better than when we first started, just because we have been doing it for so long and people understand that. So I would say I'm proud of the people I work with and the institution that I work for and how they have really embraced what we do and the vision that I and others had in terms of the services that needed to happen and have gotten behind that. And then I would also say I'm proud of our community. They have stepped up and they have said, we agree, kids are a priority. We need to do things to help out our kids.
Dr. Garrett Zallin is a pediatric surgeon at Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center at River Bend. Dr. Zallin, thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, thank you, and I appreciate your questions, and appreciate you giving us time to talk a little about what we've done.
All right, thank you.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.